How do you bring the history of the Underground Railroad alive for people today? How about a garden? This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. When Samuel Black was putting together the From Slavery to Freedom exhibit at the Senator John Hines History Center, he found a hole in the literature.
There's very little mention of the experiences of runaway slaves in terms of the impact of natural environment.
So he did the research himself, and Black found a local partner in Pittsburgh to bring his work to life.
We have essentially created an outdoor, free, accessible museum exhibit.
That's Camilla Rivera Tinsley, the director of the Frick Environmental Center. The new From Slavery to Freedom garden is just beyond the entrance to Frick Park, where the center is located. I joined Black and Rivera Tinsley there for a tour.
We are looking at 6 raised beds in total, and we chose the plants that really represented agency and sovereignty. There is a mix of plants that provided sustenance and food and were able to create market gardens for enslaved people that had gained their freedom. Cowpeas, you will find tomatoes, you will find...
You have one really nice butternut squash here.
Yeah, so we have a couple of different squash varieties that are in here. We really tried to focus on heirloom varieties. You know, the term heirloom just harkens to the fact that before we chose one or two varieties of every foodstuff that we eat, there were hundreds and hundreds of varieties of tomatoes to choose from, which are delicious and beautiful and also happen to be resistant to diseases.
Can you talk about some of the other plants that were useful to people who were on the Underground Railroad?
Some of those that I think that are surprising to people are plants like wild lettuce. We think of lettuce today that goes into a salad. Well, wild lettuce was primarily a herb that the enslaved used as, number one, a coffee substitute, but it also had an impact where it was sort of a cleanser. And it was used by runaway slaves. They would make a brew out of it and drink it, and especially women, because it would control their menses. And so you're looking to be at your optimum health if you were trying to escape slavery. And then various trees, especially the oaks, the barks were used to make shoes, for instance, the soles of shoes. And of course, the hardwood, which was used to make tools and that type of thing, for weapons to defend themselves. The natural environment had to be the first challenge for a runaway slave. The second challenge were those coming after them who had hunting dogs. So a runaway slave had to really be almost ingenious in how to survive in nature.
What would you most like people to take away from visiting this garden?
I would most like people to be able to just find a way to relate to nature on their own terms. I also really want people to walk away being inspired about the sense of agency that can come from knowledge of wild spaces around you, and knowing that that knowledge and those skills and that ability exist within all of us.
We want them to leave with a better understanding of the will to be free on the part of enslaved African Americans and the ingenuity that they had in understanding the natural environment and how they could use the natural environment to sustain themselves and to make their trek to freedom.
That was Samuel Black, the director of African American programs at the Senator John Hines History Center, and Camilla Rivera Tinsley, the director of education and the Frick Environmental Center for the Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy. There's a lot more about their collaborative From Slavery to Freedom garden at our website, alleghenyfront.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.